if you're coming. You mean dinosaurs still alive? And again, please don't misunderstand me. I don't want you to think there's lots of them, but there's a few. The study of this is kind of unusual. It's called cryptozoology, the study of hidden animals. I've been involved in it for probably 20 years now, collecting eyewitness accounts. I try to go as much as possible straight to the source. Most of the people I'm going to be talking about tonight, I have talked to personally. I have their name and address. If you get my seminar part 2 videotape, which is what I'm sharing with you tonight, both sessions, all of their names and addresses are on a piece of paper tucked in with that tape, documenting, and phone numbers. If you want to get a hold of them, you can check me out on anything I'm telling you. But there have been now nearly 20 expeditions to that swamp. There were many before. Back in 1880, Belgium took over the Congo, and it was called for many years the Belgian Congo. How many of you learned it as the Belgian Congo? Well, that shows how old you are, because in 1960, they were liberated by the communists, and it became regular Congo. But it was called Belgian Congo. The Belgian explorers were saying, when they went in there, they said, hey, there are dinosaurs in that swamp. Not too many people believed them. Back in 1948, this article on the front of the table was written, 3 pages taped together, published in the Saturday Evening Post, 1948. There could be dinosaurs, talking about the Lickawalla Swamp. Dr. Roy Mackel of the University of Chicago went into the swamp in 1980. Here's his book. I've talked to him several times. His phone number and address is in the front cover. He made 2 trips. 1980 he went in, 1981 he went back. He's going again for a 3rd trip, or he may be there now. I don't know. I haven't called him in a couple of months. But he said the first thing they noticed in the swamp when they went in there, largest swamp in the world, first thing they noticed was the mosquitoes. He said the mosquitoes landed on them at the rate of about 1,000 per hour, they figured. Relentless attack of bloodthirsty mosquitoes coming in there. As they traveled around the swamp, they talked to the natives that live and hunt in that area. And there aren't many people that live in the swampy areas, and they live on the main rivers, but they occasionally go into the swamps on excursions. Most of the natives are scared of the swamp. They stay on the rivers. And there are villages up and down the Ubangi River and stuff like that. But he asked the natives if there were any crocodiles in the swamp. And they said, oh, white man, we have big crocodiles here. He said, how big? And they paced it off in 50 feet. They wouldn't believe it. Until 1984, I believe, was the expedition. One of the expeditions actually saw a 50-foot crocodile in the Lickawalla Swamp. Of course, now, if you're a pygmy, 4'4" tall, a 50-foot crocodile looks even bigger from your perspective, but they are big critters. When they showed this picture to the natives, they said, you ever seen one like this? They said, oh, yeah, Mokili Mimbi. He lives out in the swamp. They said, he's not friendly. Don't bother him. And they're not real common. About the size of a large hippo, but a real long neck and long tail. Dr. Mackel said, fellas, Mokili Mimbi, a dinosaur, still lives in the swamp. Don't you know they've been dead for 70 million years? And the natives said, we're sorry, we didn't know that. See, we've never been to the University of Chicago to study all this stuff. All we know is we saw one when we were out there fishing a couple of weeks ago, and it was just common knowledge reported among the natives. Dinosaurs still alive? Now, there aren't many, but there are some. They're 25 feet long or 30 feet long. The natives claim they live underwater. They stick their head up and eat the leaves, and when they hear something, they duck back under the water. Very sensitive hearing. Natives that live there a lifetime may see it once or twice. They may never see it. It's not something that everybody sees every day. It's not that common. But there are many people who have seen Mokili Mimbi. This is their favorite plant, the Malombo plant, Dr. Mackel said. The natives told him, if you want to find Mokili Mimbi, find a place where there's lots of Malombo and no hippos, because they drive hippos out of their part of the river. Totally vegetarian. This picture appears in Mackel's book right here on the table of the footprints they found, where the natives claim Mokili Mimbi came ashore, trampled all the brush down. The footprints, about the size of a hippo, but the straddle was 6 feet. From the right footprints to the left footprints, a 6-foot straddle. Not a hippo. The natives claim that their ancestors had killed 2 of the animals back in the late 50s, approximately, Mackel figured out. I've got a friend over there, Eugene Thomas. He has been a missionary in the swamp for 38 years. His address and phone number is here on this yellow-orange paper. Gene Thomas, 38-year missionary veteran. He has 2 pygmies in his church that helped kill Mokili Mimbi back in the 50s. When I talked to him last year, I said, are those 2 pygmies that killed Mokili Mimbi, is that the one Mackel refers to in his book? He said, yep, same ones. He said a whole bunch of the pygmies died from eating the meat. Evidently, they kept it too long. You know, a big animal tried to keep it too long in the humid climate. Who knows? But they killed one. So there are still a few left. This picture appears in this book right here on the table. Marcelina Egnagna from Brazzaville, Congo, the capital. He's a biologist, also a communist, and consequently an atheist. He went with Mackel on one of his trips, and then he went back with his own expedition. And Marcelina Egnagna, this book, Time, Life, Mysterious Creatures, $14.95, get one a month, cancel anytime. Marcelina saw the creature. Several of the people with him saw it. He grabbed his camera, snapped off two or three pictures before he realized he still had the lens cap on. They call it buck fever when you go deer hunting. I don't know what they call it when you go after Mokelumimbi, but he did not get a picture. So here he is. Here he is at a chalkboard drawing a sketch. He said, look, this is what I saw. Because of camera problems, he didn't bring back evidence. Yeah, the problem was he didn't take the lens cap off. But he doesn't want to tell folks that. Anyway, there have been lots of sightings over there. They claim they live in caves along the side of the river. They migrate. You know, when the plants get down to a certain percentage, they leave the area and go back. Because they never know where they're going to be in this huge swamp. But all over the world, there have been sightings of dinosaur-like creatures in the last couple of hundred years. It's reported commonly from many parts of the world. How many have ever heard of Loch Ness Monster, for instance? You ever heard of Loch Ness? Did you know there have now been 11,000 sightings of the Loch Ness Monster? Now, probably some are hoaxes and frauds and misidentified. I understand all that. I have read thousands of them. But 11,000? They're not all lying or all deceived in the same way. Loch Ness, Loch means lake. And Loch Ness is a long, skinny lake, 25 miles long, in northern Scotland. How many of you have ever been to Loch Ness? Anybody ever been over there? One, two, three, four, five, six of you, okay? Loch Ness, 25 miles long, a mile wide, in between two mountain ranges. Mountains on both sides. Consequently, it kind of lies in a valley, this long, skinny lake, a mile wide, 25 miles long, up to 1,000 feet deep. But the water is so dirty might not be a good word, so many suspended peat particles, that the water is pitch black once you get down about 25 or 30 feet. You can't see your hand in front of your face. It's like being in a cup of coffee. Just visibility is zero. Imagine a black water lake, 1,000 feet deep, 25 miles long. The submarine attempts in there claim that there are caves going off underwater caves that go back up into the mountains to who knows where. Maybe even up into air chambers where the creature can go breathe up there. I don't know. Nobody's ever explored those caves. You're welcome to go do it. But because of the unusual topography there, there never was a highway along the edge of the beach because there was no beach to build one on. You came up out of the water straight up into the mountains, pretty much. In 1933, a groove was cut along the edge of the road, along the edge of the lake, to make room for a highway, like they cut grooves in the mountains around here. Here it is, looking the other direction. They cut a groove in the side of the hill to make a roadway. Right away, there began to be sightings from outsiders of the Loch Ness Monster. When this book was published, this book says there have been 9,000 reported sightings. This was back in the late 60s when this book was published. Now there have been up to 11,000 reported sightings of the Loch Ness Monster. Sir Peter Scott and his wife, he's a British naturalist. He's a member of Parliament, the equivalent of our senator, which of course doesn't give him any credibility, but Sir Peter Scott and his wife have seen the Loch Ness Monster several times. He says he believes Loch Ness Monster is a plesiosaurus. A plesiosaur? Well, yeah, plesiosaur. There are three different types, maybe even five different types, but three for sure. There's the chronosaur, the plesiosaur, and the elasmosaur. I've got one on the table down here. The plesiosaur, you look at his head, and you'll see it's kind of in line with his neck, like a snake. The elasmosaur's head is at a right angle to his neck. Chronosaur is mostly head, 9 foot long jaw. Chronosaur, and a short neck. So basically, we got the short neck, the medium neck, and the long neck plesiosaur, three different types of swimming animals. Here's my plesiosaur, this one, on a trampoline. It's a pretty rare sight. Preacher, you might be interested to know about this. Jerome Sadowinski was the Czechoslovakian inventor that invented the trampoline. That means he was the very first Czech to bounce years ago. There have been many more since then, but This is the first picture taken of the Loch Ness Monster, and it is blurry. It was taken in 1933. Photography was not a real polished art back then. But it's called the surgeon's photo for many years. After the guy died, his name was released. It was Kenneth Wilson. I always wondered why they never released his name till after he died. But I just found out last year it's because he took the picture while he was up at Loch Ness with his mistress. And he'd have died earlier had that come out. But the surgeon's photo. There's always hoaxes and frauds, though. Following anything, there's hoaxes and frauds come up. You know, there's always Weekly World News or somebody going to say, we caught the Loch Ness Monster. Or just last week, somebody bought me one of those other papers, you know, said the Navy caught it off the coast of Hawaii or something. I called Scotland after that article came out and said, is it true you caught the Loch Ness Monster? The lady in charge of the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau said, no, Mr. Hovind, I don't know how your American papers get by with publishing that stuff. I said, lady, you would not believe the stuff they publish over here. But I've got friends there that keep me posted on sightings of Loch Ness. Here is something one of them sent me. This is a little model of the Loch Ness Monster. Has a Scottish hat on and everything. You can come by and play with that from Scotland. That's what they sell to the tourists over there as the Loch Ness Monster. Arthur Grant, a veterinarian student, nearly ran into the Loch Ness Monster one night on his motorcycle. He was on the motorcycle, not him. I need an English teacher to help me rephrase that sentence so I don't have to do that. But he was going along the highway in 1934, middle of the night, 2 in the morning, veterinarian student. He ought to know something about animals. Here he is in veterinary medicine school. He's going along, and the creature slithered across the road in front of him. He said it was moving in jerky movements like a seal moves on its flippers. Had a long, flexible neck. Arthur Grant said, it looked to me like a plesiosaurus. But I know that's impossible, because they've been dead for 70 million years. They're right. Alexander Campbell is the water bailiff, the conservation officer in Scotland, the equivalent of our game warden. His picture, an article, and testimony is in here. Alexander Campbell, here it is, has seen the Loch Ness Monster 18 times. He says Loch Ness Monster, and there's a sketch drawn by him. He said it's about 30 feet long, sticks its head 6 feet out of the water. A plesiosaurus? The Spicer family saw the creature go across the road in front of their car. It's been seen 17 times out of the water. I've got a listing of all the sightings on this orange poster here. The sightings of Loch Ness Monster out of the water. It's been seen twice with a sheep in its mouth. Cages were built to try to catch the Loch Ness Monster back in the 30s. All of them unsuccessful. Mrs. Moyer and her sister and her mother-in-law and her young daughter saw the creature for an hour swimming along in front of them. Watched it for an hour. They drew that sketch. They said it was about 30 feet long. Is it just coincidence they're all coming up with the same thing? Are they all lying, being deceived in the same way? This picture taken of three humps in the water. There have been many pictures of humps where its back sticks out of the water. People cite it. Colonel Grant saw it. I'll have to skip some of this. Hugh Rowan saw a 4-foot hump swimming 20 to 25 knots. Swam for half a mile and disappeared. Many of the people say it looks like an upside-down rowboat, which is a good description of a plesiosaurus back. Come look at my blue one on the table here. Torquil MacLeod watched the creature for 9 minutes through his binoculars. It was on the beach on the other side of the lake. He said its neck was moving back and forth. Turtle, a trunk-like neck, moved from side to side slowly, looked like a snake about to strike. Half out of the water, neck moving back and forth. Finally, it pushed itself off the shore, turned around and swam away. He watched it for 9 minutes, guessed it was 45 to 50 feet long. MacLeod said, I think the Loch Ness Monster looks like this. Is it just coincidence, or maybe there's still a few plesiosaurs left? Here's a picture taken by a camper, got its back and its head over here, 1960, in May, that picture taken. Greta Findlay, sketch here, humps on its back. This flipper, picture of a big 6-foot flipper taken underwater by a sonar-activated camera with strobe lights attached to it, so that when the sonar said something's in front of the sonar device, the camera flashes and the lights come on all simultaneously. Done by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. Rhines and his fellows went over there and set all this up and got an underwater photo of Loch Ness Monster's flipper. Now, they computer-enhanced it. That picture appeared in the big, thick Reader's Digest book, Mysterious Creatures, I think it was, or Mysteries of the Unknown, one of those big books. That picture's in there. I used to carry it on the table, but it's so heavy. I need to, I guess, just take the picture out, page out. This picture I've got on the table here, on the wall here somewhere. I forget where now. I think it's over behind my Inflatosaurus, the orange one. Preacher blew that up, by the way, so that's got about a four-day supply of bad breath in it, if you want to. There's this picture with its mouth open over here. There have been over 100 pictures taken of the Loch Ness Monster. Now, some may be frauds and hoaxes. No doubt some are. But that doesn't discredit all of them. There have been 3 submarine attempts. All of them, as I said, unsuccessful because the water is so dirty. They get the submarine down there, and the guy says, "Hey, I can't even see the front of my own boat. And I'm in it." The water's just, it's like being in a coffee cup or a mud puddle. Visibility is zero. But there have been many sightings and pictures taken, and some, like I said, maybe hoaxes and frauds. I'll just flash through some of the pictures that have been taken of the Loch Ness Monster. This one showing its head kind of straight, and here it's kind of curled a little more. 2 pictures, of course, always better than one, showing some movement. Several movies made. Just different, various pictures of the Loch Ness Monster. Here's one showing the muscles in the side of the neck. This one taken by Urquhart Castle. They say it was about 60 feet long. Pictures of humps. I mean, I don't know what's what, but it's not just Loch Ness. Other lakes, Loch Shiel, Loch Lochy, Loch Morag, Loch Oik, all many lakes in Scotland, and even in Gloucester Harbor, Massachusetts, there have been sightings of sea monsters. In Sweden, there was an animal called the Storrsjöe animal in the 1800s. The Swedes built big traps and harpoons to try to catch it. They're still in a museum now. Evidently, it got driven off or died out or something, but they never caught it. Storrsjöe animal. Lake Okanagan. How many, all you gotta do is watch Unsolved Mysteries and they'll have something on there about Ogopogo, right? There have been 500 or 600 sightings now of Ogopogo. They call the creature Ogopogo. They say it's got a horse-like head at a right angle to its neck and humps on its back. In Canada, British Columbia, this creature swam past a boat full of scientists in 1905 down by Brazil. They were on the boat watching the, over the side, and all of a sudden this creature swam past. They said, "Fellas, that's a dinosaur. What's he doing here?" "He's been dead for 70 million years. I guess nobody told that one." No, I guess they didn't get the word out. Folks, there's some. This one was caught by a Japanese fishing boat, 1977, off the coast of New Zealand. There's a full-color picture of it right here in that book that I've got. I don't know if I got any left out there, but I buy those by the case because it's so interesting. If not, it's on my order form. The Great Dinosaur Mystery in the Bible. Full-color picture of the one the Japanese fishing boat caught in 1977. Does that mean the battery's dying on this thing? I'll just swap mics if it goes out. It doesn't matter to me. The fisherman pulled that thing up, 4,000 pounds, 32 feet long, plesiosaurus. 4 big flippers. They said, "What on earth is this thing doing here?" They even made a commemorative stamp out of it for Japanese mail. They said it was the greatest find in 100 years in Japanese science. Let me swap mics. Oh, thank you, brother. A Gentile and a scholar. There's not many of us left. In Lake Erie, there have been many sightings in Lake Erie of creatures. I've got this article on one of the posters down here somewhere. They say it's a huge serpent-like creature. It's black, 35 feet long, with a snake-like head. Been reported many times in Lake Erie. A dinosaur? Well, yeah, this picture was taken by John Kraft. I called him up. His phone number and address is right there. That picture appears on one of the posters, far corner, last poster down there, upper right-hand corner. His phone number and address is right under it. 35-foot-long plesiosaurus. John Kraft watched the creature, stuck its head up out of the water, was swimming along. He said, "What's that, honey?" He grabbed his camera, focused in on it. By then, its head was back down, but it was still swimming with its back exposed. He took that picture. His photo's over there. Call him up. Talk to him about it. This picture appeared in Russian magazines. There have been many sightings in some of the Siberian lakes of huge creatures, apparently a few of the dinosaurs in some parts of the world. This is the head of one that washed up on the beach in California in 1925. 1925, I guess I don't need this now, do I? This article appears in Skin Diver magazine, November 1989. I've got it right here on the table. Go to any library, Skin Diver magazine, look it up, get your own article, or order one for $4 from Skin Diver in California. Fishermen watched that critter get killed by seals in 1925. It had been reported for years that something was swimming up and down the coast of central California, just south of Monterey.
These fishermen watched one day as it poked its head up, and seals attacked it and killed it. The next day it washed up on the beach. As it laid there on the beach, there's his head, people came from miles around to see the sea monster on Moore's Beach, Santa Cruz, 1925. They said it was 40 feet long, 12 feet wide through the belly section. It moved by humping itself along. As it lay there on the beach, people came and looked at it. Here's a picture of its head collapsing as it rotted and its neck collapsing into the sand. This picture appears again in the Time Life book on about page 40, if you want to look it up in here and get that picture after I'm done. But there have been just an awful lot of sightings of dinosaurs. I need to swap one more time. This is a picture of a zeuglodon, a basilosaurus, a similar type animal. I've got it on the front of that table. It's got a big, wide body rib cage up here at the front, and you can get a better view of it down there, and a long series of bumps where its tail is. Real long tail. They've been found up to 70 feet long, skeletons of them. I suspect it was a zeuglodon that was seen in Newport, Arkansas. Here's its body and a whole series of bumps. Cloyce Warren took that photograph. His address and phone number is with the photograph right here. Newport Daily Independent. I've been there dozens of times. I've interviewed Gary Addington, Lloyd Hamilton. Their names are referred to here. I go straight to the source. I've talked to Cloyce Warren. His phone number and address right here next to it. Call him up. The people that saw it said it was about 30 feet long, and it looked like some kind of cross between an alligator and a whale. Perfect description of a zeuglodon. Arkansas even passed a Senate resolution back in 1973 to protect the White River Monster. Here's the Senate resolution down below. There are some 300 people saw the White River Monster, whatever it was. It's gone, hasn't been seen since 72, when the flood washed a bunch of mud in there, and the river that used to be 100 feet deep is now only 50 feet deep. In Vermont, there's a lake right here called Lake Champlain. How many have ever heard of Lake Champlain? It's the largest lake in America after the Great Lakes. It's number 6 on the list after the first 5 Great Lakes. I was up there just a few months ago. Lake Champlain is a huge lake. It's the border between Vermont and New York. How many have ever been to Lake Champlain? Any of you have ever been there? Oh, quite a few of you. Okay. Lake Champlain is 120 miles long. It goes up into Canada. It's 15 miles wide. Here's Burlington, Vermont. Down here is Fort Ticonderoga. A lot of Revolutionary War battles fought in that area, Fort Ticonderoga. There have been now over 600 sightings reported of Champ. Here's a book on the table, the cover of it up there on the screen. Champ, Beyond the Legend by Joseph Zarzynski, who I've talked to several times. The people that see Champ say it's a plesiosaurus. This photograph was taken by Sandy Mancy in 1977. When I was in New Hampshire, just in November. Matter of fact, the videotape series of my seminar was done in New Hampshire. The third night I was there, Sandy Mancy came to the meeting. And if you watch the videotape, part 3, you'll see where we introduce Sandy and everybody claps, and Sandy and her husband came. Sandy Mancy and her husband and 2 kids watched as Champ surfaced just 25 yards away from them. She said they watched it for about 10 minutes. She snapped off that one picture, and then they just stood there in awe looking at this thing. Couldn't believe it. Finally, she said it turned its head from side to side several times. Finally, it ducked under the water real fast. And then, she said, a few seconds later, a boat came around the corner. So it had heard the boat before they did. Very sensitive hearing. Sandy listened to me preach. She came up to me afterwards. She said, "Brother Hovind, you're the first person I've ever heard who believes dinosaurs should be used for the glory of God." She said, "Different companies have offered me enormous sums. Some have paid her up to $10,000 for permission to use her picture." Unsolved Mysteries has interviewed Sandy Mancy. Strange sightings, and it's in Time Magazine. They paid her $10,000. She said, "Brother Hovind, you're the only person I've ever seen wants to use it for the glory of God." She said, "I'm going to give you my picture of Champ. I have it right here. Crystal clear. Much better than what's on the screen up there. I'm going to leave it in the cover of the book. Please be careful with it." She signed the back from Sandy Mancy, 1977. Many people, though, have seen Champ. When I was there 2 years ago with my son, I was preaching at a church near there. We had about 18 hours to spare. So I went over and we slept on the shore of Lake Champlain, hoping to see Champ. Had the flashlight ready. The next morning, we went skiing on the lake. I interviewed people, as many as I could. People told me, they said, Brother Hovind or Mr. Hovind, they said, I've seen that creature, but I would never say anything about it because you get laughed at. If you claimed you saw a dinosaur, what's going to happen to you? Right? We are so prejudiced into thinking they've been gone for millions of years that the idea is ridiculous. Here's Sandy's picture as it appeared in Time magazine, July 1981. There might even be a few pterodactyls left in this world. Now, I don't want you to think I'm nuts, and they're not 50 foot long like they find the bones of in Big Bend Park in Texas. 52 foot pterodactyl, the biggest one ever found. But the ones in Africa, in another swamp, in Namibia and in Kenya, there are some small swampy areas there. Melland, an investigator, went in there, a scientist, and he showed pictures. He asked the natives, he said, what is Kangamato? The natives said, well, it's a bird. He said, what kind of a bird? Answer, oh, well, it isn't a bird, really. It is more like a lizard with wings like a bat. The wingspread is from 1 to 2 meters, 4 to 7 feet, with a general red color. It has no feathers, only skin, and teeth in its beak. Mellon showed the natives pictures of pterodactyls and other animals. Each native unerringly identified the pterodactyl as the Kangamato. Pterodactyls, 4 foot wingspread, still left? Makes sense to me. I believe the Bible. They've always lived with man. There may be a few left. It wouldn't phase my theology at all. In Namibia, an expedition went in there, and into Kenya, same results. An American expedition, 1975, got a film, apparently, but hasn't been released yet for some reason. Pterodactyls. Now, that's it. I don't go around and speak on dinosaurs, though, just to fill your head. What I want to see happen to you is the same thing that happened to Job. After Job saw the two dinosaurs, Behemoth, and then in chapter 41, Leviathan. I'll talk about that tomorrow for the kids in school. If you want to come for that. I won't have time. Tomorrow night we'll be going into something else. But after God showed Job the two dinosaurs and asked him 84 questions, Job was a changed individual. He's a different man. He said, God, I've had trouble in my life. You know that. Everything's gone. But Lord, you're the boss. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You might get the lights back on there, fellas. Hey, question. He had trouble? Are you mad at God for something? I don't know what's going on in your life. No idea. Don't need to know. But God does. And it does not matter what has happened in your life. All things work together for good to them that love God. Let me back up a little bit here. All things work together for good to them that love God. All you have to do is keep your heart right with God. Now that'll keep you plenty busy. But that's our duty in life. Serve the Lord. So let me ask you this question. Number one, are you saved? Are you serving the Lord? Are you a Christian? If you're not saved, for whatever reason, but you'd like to be, in a minute we'll have an invitation. You can come. Somebody will take a Bible, get you off someplace where it's quiet, get away from all the noise, and show you how you can become a Christian tonight. In the next 3 minutes, you could be going to heaven. If you're here and you are a Christian, and you're not doing anything that's going to matter for the Lord's kingdom, why don't you come and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I volunteer. I'm signing up. Put me in the service, Lord. What are you doing anyway? Working your 40 hours? That's it? Working toward retirement? That's it? Making a house payment, a car payment? That's all you're doing? You better come talk to the Lord about that. He may have something else in mind besides those things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for saving us. Lord, I pray that you'll do for us what you did for Job. After Job saw the power and greatness of the dinosaurs, and then you told him you were bigger and stronger, Job had a renewed vision of who you were. And Lord, we need a better vision of the power of God. Please, Father, draw us close to you. Help us to live for you. And Lord, if there's some here tonight that aren't saved, help them to come and accept you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.